Join me as I interview director Frank Trace from Kansas State. In the show notes, you'll find a link to a burnout quiz that he talked about in the state conference he came to and spoke to us here in Colorado, and also a link to his band's page that has a ton of resources. Back in a moment.
Strike up the band so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
Hey, this is James Devine with the Music Ed Podcast, and I'm here with Dr. Trace. We're at the Colorado Bandmasters Association between sessions here, so if you hear some noise in the background, that's what's going on there. So welcome, Dr. Trace, to the podcast.
Thank you.
Just a few questions for you. I know your time is valuable, and we'll just start with this one. What is the best piece of advice you can give to directors who are probably in their first 5 years?
The best piece of advice I could give you is find some mentors, find some people you could confide in and ask questions, and be a sponge. And by being a sponge is just absorb everything. Things you think you need, things you don't think you need, just absolutely everything. Because the more you can absorb into your sponge of your career, the more information. It's like having a complete PGA set of golf clubs. You have them all. And so you don't use them all the time. You just use the one you need. And there's a club in there you may not need for a long, long time, but you have it. So my advice to young people is find some mentors and soak up as much as you can. Come to these events. Come to the Bandmasters Association in the summertime. Go to the state conference. Go to any conference you possibly can to hang with good people and to learn and ask questions. There's no such thing as a stupid question, because we've all been there and done that. And you can't be afraid to ask, because we've all been in that same situation.
I would like to add to that too, that I don't think our sponges ever get full.
I've been
in the music business 32 years, and I feel like I'm just scraping the edge of what I can learn.
When you think the sponge is full, is then you grab the sponge and you squeeze the water out into your educational vault, and you put the sponge down and make some more room.
Amen.
Just keep filling it up.
Amen. What advice would you give to high school directors to help them prepare their students for the college setting, whether they're going to be music majors or not?
Whether music majors or not, I'm not in the business of promoting music majors and recruiting music majors. I'm in the business of teaching music and using band as the vehicle as I can to teach music and to change kids' lives. So in terms of doing, there's a couple areas that you need to be aware of. Is number one, scholarship and acceptance. You have to be a good player. So take lessons, study with somebody. Visit the school that you want to go to. Visit a number of schools. Ask to talk to the band directors, the director of bands, or the jazz ensemble director, the orchestra director, the choral director, whatever interests you. Ask to see them, and maybe spend a day going through the classes and going through the rehearsals with them, see what it's like. If they don't have time to meet with you and they can't do that, then quite simply, don't go to school there. Scratch that off your list. We have to be, at the collegiate level, much more responsive to the public schools, the private schools, the music educators and music education students in those schools than we are now. We exist for them. We exist to take them to the next level, make great music, whichever ensemble it's going to be, whether it's an athletic band or a concert band, orchestra, jazz ensemble, pep band, it doesn't matter. It's playing a horn. We're trying to teach students to be lifelong consumers of music, as I stated in my session this morning. So go visit. Ask lots of questions. It's kind of like buying a pair of jeans. Is where there's a lot of different brands, but it's all the same size, but there's one set of jeans, pair of jeans that feels really good. That's the one you need to buy, and that's the school you need to go to. It's people. They'll make a difference.
All right, thank you. Is there a trend in music education that concerns you, and why does that concern you?
There's a ton of them, but I think the most prominent one that concerns me is the push towards competition in everything. I don't look at the arts, the beauty of making music, as a competitive thing. Scholarships are competitive, better grades, better players. Athletics are competitive, who makes the most goals, who scores the most points. I don't think bands should be competitive. I'm not a competitive marching band person. Giving a band a score of 96.34 on tone quality, I'm Again, I'm just stupid, but I just don't know what that means. You know, I know what good tone quality is, and when there's a level playing field like there is in athletics, where, you know, even in college football and all sports, you have a limited number of practices, limited number of practices with pads, now a limited number of practices with hitting, a number of hours that you can, all this stuff is planned. The football game is the same, and so are the practices, number of coaches, number of players you can have. It's not the case in bands. You know, budgets aren't the same. Well, the number of players aren't the same. The quality of instruments aren't the same. The quality of teaching is not the same. So I'm not sure how we can, in good conscience, put one school up against another that doesn't have the same background or the same support system that somebody else does, and they compete against each other. Because the competition is really, we're not judging the kids, we're judging the teaching, aren't we?
That's such a great point. And having come from some small schools, I know I can kind of look back sometimes over my span of time and say I was able to take a school from a 3 to a 7 or 8, if you just, mm-hmm. you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you want to say. And I've seen some bands that go from a 8 to a 9. Yep. And I feel like in a lot of ways, taking them from the 3 to an 8
absolutely.
Was harder than taking them from an 8 to a 9.
Now, and you're absolutely right. And as band directors, we're in control of that because, you know, when I was teaching high school and we'd go to contests, the band festival, we'd listen to the tapes. You know, they were the old cassette tapes. We listened to those, and I'd have the kids look at the music, and I'd read the judges' comments, and we'd stop and say, here's what he's talking about here. It was an educational experience. So the number of the rating really wasn't that important. It was good for the plaque and the trophy and all that stuff in the case and for other people. Those are for other people. They're not for me. They're not for my band. You know, I don't understand what that's all about. I'm just not that smart. But what we do with those recordings and those written comments, there's the value there. So then now we're talking about, I understand.
You know. How important do you feel that what's the director's role in teaching the students about the value of those comments versus those ratings?
I think it's the way that we present it to them. I think it's the way that we use those ratings and value. I think it's comments we make. I think if it's geared towards, here's what was stated, and this is true, I agree, listen to this. Here's what he said or she said, we could do better. Let's do this. Let's try this right now. Let's try to do that. And if they could see the result of what that comment meant, that's learning. Because what's the definition of learning? It's a measurable change of behavior.
One of the things I love that we do in Colorado, one of the festivals we have, there's actually a fourth judge who follows you immediately into the band room,
mm-hmm.
and they give you feedback right away on your performance.
That's outstanding.
And you get to see the improvement. They say, hey, try this here.
Yeah.
And it's not a right or wrong thing. It's like, try this. Did you like that better? Oh, yeah, we love that
better.
It's
an educational component designed to make you better. Everybody wants to, you know, we got into playing instruments when we were young because we liked the sound and we liked the instrument. That's why we do this. It wasn't, you know, I hope someday that I'm in charge of renting buses and raising, selling candy bars to go to Six Flags over Baghdad or wherever we're going, right? But we got into this business because we like music. We like making music.
Right.
We might be forgetting that a little bit. And I think we have to go back to that. Regardless of what band it is.
Those are some good tips. It sounds like we're both very passionate about that.
Absolutely.
That same thing. One of the things that is difficult in this field is really finding a balance with the, some people say there's a higher divorce rate in our field than in almost any other field. What are some top tips that you would give to directors for maintaining balance without getting too far one way or another?
Well, you know, I'm probably not the person to be asking this question because it's kind of like asking some of our political leaders about common sense. I mean, they have no concept of what that means, right? But I think the point being is the balance between we're dedicated and we're literally joined at the hip with our students in our career. We take that seriously. So that can overshadow what we do in our private lives with our spouses, significant others, with our kids, things of that nature. We just have to make a concerted effort not to do that. You know, I'm in a position here at the university where we go to bowl games over Christmas. In the last 25 years, I can count on one hand the number of Christmases I've been home or the family's been home. But it's the way we approach it. It's part of the job. There's a lot of benefits to what we do that most other people don't receive and don't get. And so you have some experiences and some learning things that nobody else does. However, we'll write Santa Claus a letter early enough to let him know we're not going to be here, and he'll deliver it to the hotel we're in. You know, that we've done that, and it happens. So it's just a matter of paying attention, trying to strive for balance, knowing when to shut it down, and I don't. I'll be the first to tell you. If anybody knows me and they hear me talking like this, they're going, man, that dude doesn't do that. He's there all the time. I am. As my dad said, I needed to marry up, and I needed to marry right. And she was a band member. She knows. She's lived it, so she understands. So that's probably all I could say about that.
I had to do the same thing with marriage, and I married up too. And I look at so many times where my life could have taken a different direction if I didn't have the great wife that I have. And we met in marching band in high school.
Yeah, well, that's a long ways back. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But if you live this, you understand it. You understand it. It's hard to explain to somebody that's not involved in the program. They don't get it. And never will.
I want to thank you so much for your time. I'm going to put some links in the podcast to some of your materials.
Great.
On the Kansas State site. So
cool.
Thank you so much for your time. Any last words of wisdom?
I'll live long and prosper.
I love that. And you gave us the sign for...
Yeah.
For... Tell us the sign you gave us in the session.
It's the Spock thing with the live long and prosper with the fingers and the thumb out and stuff, and that's the Star Trek sign. So
live long and prosper. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Music and Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band teacher.